Mary Gable, please come back from your short recess.
Oh, that was a brief break.
It was a brief break.
A brief break, but I will make this quick. So the first item that you have before you is the emergency planning guidelines for local school systems and schools. And I just want to mention that this is part of legislation that emergency plans be updated to make sure to include those to comply with MSDE guidelines regarding handicapped students. This is students and adults. So Ed Clark mentioned this along with, you heard from Walt Salee earlier, that Walt met in consultation with disability advocacy groups to update these emergency planning guidelines. And you have a copy in your packet. It's a very thick copy. This was approved in April of 2013 previously. What you have, it's been revised, and it's just the red sections that have been updated throughout the document to address, to make sure that we're meeting the guidelines, to make sure that we address the needs of all individuals, specifically Americans with disabilities. I also want to mention a mom and dad and their daughter who were here earlier, Mrs. Laurie Scott and her husband and her daughter Cassie, who served on this work group and came to support this particular set of guidance and guidelines, and just express their appreciation to Walt to be so inclusive to do this. We are asking today for your approval of the revisions that have been made to these guidelines. Then in December, we will be back before you with a very nuanced, just a regulation that referenced the previous guidelines, and we have to update that regulation with hopefully this new set of guidance. So today I'm asking for your approval on the guidance that you have before you with the update to include students and adults with disabilities, which is the only change throughout
the
guidance.
So move. Second?
Second.
Any discussion? It did occur to me, I didn't read the whole thick document. This mm-hmm. specific reference is for students with disabilities. Do the emergency plans of districts cover all of their other students?
So thank you for bringing that up. The emergency plans are required, and those emergency plans have been submitted. With the approval of this guidance, now the local school systems will need to update their emergency plans to include students and adults with disabilities. So we will be sending this out once we have your, hopefully, approval and requesting that they update their
But they all have emergency plans.
Correct. They do. They all do.
Which apply to all of their students and will now explicitly include students with disabilities.
Yes, sir.
And it also occurred to me when we were hearing the excellent report of the Mental Health Committee, mm-hmm. Do the emergency situations include emergencies that affect a particular kid as opposed to a big emergency? We were hearing about sort of urgent situations involving particular children.
I think what I would say, having been a principal for 12 years and have operated in some difficult situations, is that it does affect how we deal with individual children, because it's individual students who have these emergencies. So without getting into the who, to protect for the protection, but how are we going to have, and I think Walt and Deb were talking about that along with Dr. Lawson, of what are the protocols for dealing with individual students who may have emergencies.
Sorry, you say we will deal with that?
Yes. I'm saying that they do, and I think Dr. Guyton mentioned that many local school systems do. I come from one that did have protocols, but we were going to, one of the recommendations and actions is that we will provide protocols for the local school systems, of which they could take a look at some best practices and then create theirs. And we also said that we would collect them.
Okay, because it occurs to me, obviously, that emergencies can come in many sizes.
Yes.
They can come from an asteroid falling on the school building.
That's true.
To a particular child in some kind of danger.
In crisis, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have a quick question.
Go ahead. Before we vote, I, like how Dr. Finn said, I wasn't able to read the entire document as much as I would have liked to. But
you could this evening when you get home.
But the question that I had related to the sort of, I guess, response that our schools have, or maybe there isn't a response, but I just wanted to know if there was a response for students whose parents might have been, like, I guess, during the course of the school day, if they would have returned and their parents might have been detained by, let's say, like, ICE officials or something, if there's something that our schools have in place in terms of, like, you know, some type of response or what they do for the student in the interim.
You mean picking up a student or making sure?
No, not the student picked up, but like the student's parents. So let's say the student doesn't have like a parent or guardian for that particular night or, you know, however long it may be.
What if an 8-year-old is sent home to an empty house?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think a couple of things. One is the elementary schools have procedures in place to make sure all of the students, they leave to go to buses. They leave to go to cars. No child is left on the sidewalk. That being said, once we release the student following all the protocols or stay with the student or bring the student in if a parent is supposed to show up, what we don't know is ultimately if all the protocols are followed, we may not know what that student is going home to. In the ultimate, they go home and there's not what kind of emergency situations might there be if mom and dad are not home. If we find that out, and I just had the pleasure of being at a high school yesterday where they were looking at college applications, and the students that were in the guidance office are those students are probably, at least one of them was homeless. These students have other circumstances that I think our schools are doing, really doing a good job, and we can always do better about supporting those students that have complicated circumstances in their homes. That does bleed into, which is why we serve meals, why we have after-school programs, why we have summer programs, why we feed students. So I think it's complicated because our children's lives are complicated. But we're trying to do things. As Dr. Finn said, sometimes there are emergency crises and there's an event that occurs, and others there's specific situations with a family and a student.
Okay, because, and the reason why I ask is because I know that recently, in light of what's been going on, a couple of counties have made policies regarding this matter, and so I'm not sure if it's something that's so frequent across the entire mm-hmm. state that it would require, you know, a state policy, uniform policy, but it was just, you know, I think a question mm-hmm. worth bringing up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thank you.
It's been moved and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any abstentions or opposed?
Do you have enough votes?
We just voted. Well,
David's
in the corridor. He just voted aye. You can double check when he comes back. We're going to move. We're going to move on to a Q, which I believe is.
I'm going to go on a street and vote next.
There he is.
Well, we'll send an emergency crew for you. David, didn't you just vote aye?
Certainly.
Okay.
I can watch you on the screen.
Thank you. Can we go on to the national?